Hello and welcome to the Debrief podcast. Efficient, quick,
assertive.
It's coming at you. This is assertive. I'm an assertive person. Welcome.
So am I.
Yes. My name is Tessa. I absolutely know what I'm doing.
I'm Stevie. I'm assertive without being as mean as Tessa.
I wasn't being mean. I was just asserting myself confidently.
That was good. Which is why we're doing the podcast.
Oh, yay. Today's podcast is about how to be more assertive.
Are you assertive, Tessa?
No.
You can be.
I think that's too big a question. I can't answer it.
I think sometimes you are, sometimes you're not, just like everyone.
Yes.
I'm certainly more assertive than I used to be. When I was younger, I'd be like, yeah, whatever, yes, yes, whatever. Whereas now I'd be like, no, thank you, that's not enough money. I would like some more money, for example. Okay, here's a good question. When someone says, hey, do you want to meet up? Should we go for dinner? Where would you like to go?
Ah!
Do you go here and I've booked it? Or are you like, I don't know?
So
is that
I literally wrote.
That sounds indecisive.
No, I just wrote it is unassertive. I wrote a note to myself because it was on an article I'd been reading about assertiveness. That is my nightmare.
Mine too.
When someone says, hey, should we go for dinner? And I just like, I just clamp up and I just hope to God they go, oh, I've got a good idea.
I've started just saying Wagamamas and I don't really like it.
That's mad.
I know.
I know what I should do is know some areas, look things up, like be confident. But the thought of like, leading the group to dinner,
yes,
is
that's the
my
thing.
Nightmare.
Because it's not indecisiveness, is it? It's a fear of being wrong.
Yeah.
But then when someone suggests somewhere to eat, because obviously me and Tessa just go out to eat all the time, that's what it sounds like, but if someone's just, even just what to eat, and
yeah,
it turns out to be not the ideal for you or everyone else, at no point do I go, well, it's your fault. I'm just like, well, that couldn't be helped.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I've a lot of these sort of psychology things talk about how when you do that, you place the blame, if there is to be blame, you place it immediately onto somebody else.
Yes.
So in saying like, oh, you choose, anything is fine. Even if it is bad, you're so much rather that it was bad, but you weren't the one in trouble.
That's, you coward!
Right? It's a cowardly thing that you would, it's, and possibly as a child, whatever, like you have a real fear of being in trouble.
That's true, I do.
I do too.
I probably got told off like twice in school and both times it was like the world had ended.
Yeah.
And I just short of being taken to hospital, I'm so sad.
Yeah. It's like, it's the worst thing you can imagine. So therefore, you would rather the evening went badly, but it wasn't your fault, even though no one ever really tells anybody off that the dinner choice was bad.
No, people may make snarky comments though, and then that's... But then,
it's all about the fault of the restaurant or...
Yeah, it's never one person's fault for making a decision.
That discovering that about myself in the last 30 seconds is huge because that is a real fault of mine.
Mm.
And even in a... Even someone saying, what are you doing for this? And I say, what are you doing?
Yeah, same. That could also feed into, if you've listened to any previous podcast episodes, you may know Tessa's attitude towards parties. A party is all on your shoulders.
Yeah.
So that probably makes sense. That checks out. That actually, that's why you're probably so stressed about parties, because it's like, well, now it is down to me. If the party's rubbish, it's my fault. And everyone would be like, oh, Tessa's a crap party. But that obviously no one does.
No one ever does that. And yet you just consume all that blame. Definitely, I know lots of people in my family who say at the dinner table, like in a restaurant, what are you having?
Yeah.
And I say like, I haven't thought yet. And it makes me furious when they do it. And yet I 100% do it to other people, and I want to know what everyone else is doing, and I don't want to be the one who make any choices, and I would just never ever be like, this is where we're going, I've put the table for seven. Like, I wouldn't dream of doing it, whereas I know loads of people who do it, and I love that they are that sort of person.
Yes, because it makes it easier to be the sort of person that we are, which is
the back seat,
not that sort of person.
Yeah, just like, I'll be in the back seat being fun rather than like driving the car and deciding where it's going. I think you pretend that you're just like an easygoing person.
But it's not, is it?
Oh my God, this is enormous for me.
Oh wow, we haven't even got into it yet. I just sort of casually mentioned one aspect.
Well, the restaurant thing, it had come up and that had not occurred to me as an assertiveness thing, because assertiveness to me is like, would you, do you stand up for yourself in the workplace? Would you say if you had got bad service or you hadn't been given something or you'd been
given
the role?
Yes, I think it does, but I think as with everything we've ever done for the podcast, you suddenly go, oh God, it's not just that.
It's so much more.
Like last week's houseplants. It was so much more than that.
If everyone recalls that seminal award-winning episode.
I gave it an award. Yes, okay, there's a lot to unpack. But before we unpack, let's just get our adult things out of the way so we can getting assertive. That was a bit of assertive from me there.
Very assertive.
Thank you.
Stevie, what adult thing have you done this week?
Very assertive from you, Tessa.
So assertive from me.
Well,
it's going to turn into a war zone. Then.
I know. It's going to be awful. We're going to end up both dead. My adult thing isn't necessarily anything I've done, but it's something that I've found out about that I'm going to start doing. There is an app that I've been put onto called Chip. And Chip is a saving app. And it is fully like private, so it works with your bank account. There's like a list of banks that it works with. It's pretty much all the banks, unless you're with like, I don't know, I was going to come up with a name for a bank that doesn't exist, but I don't
it's
have
hard,
the capacity.
Isn't it?
January is a hard month. You basically sync it with your bank. It every few days, the algorithm calculates based on what you're spending and getting in terms of money. It calculates exactly how much you can afford to save without really missing the money, and then it puts that automatically into a Chip savings account.
Oh, it does it already?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So you obviously, it's not like, well, once it's going, that's the end of that. Like, you have control over it. Mm. But each week it will, from what I can see, because I haven't started it yet, but it looks like it changes the amount depending on your financial situation.
Amazing.
So it's sort of the way to save without having to, like, put, you know, this amount every month, because sometimes, especially good if you're not someone who has a steady job, because your stuff will be, your money will be all over the place and you won't know how much to save. But also great if you do have a regular job, because then it will just regularly save stuff for you. So that was my adult thing that I've downloaded it. And I've also done a lot of reading about it, and it is fully safe. And it's all your details are protected using a 256-bit encryption. And Chip doesn't store your data. It doesn't share it with anyone. And you have control. You can stop Chip for saving for you. And then you literally just press pause, or you can like resume saving and then it'll keep going.
Wonderful.
Isn't it great?
I think
it's the new Monzo card, guys, as in the thing that everyone has. And if you don't have Monzo, you know someone who does. It's that very bright card that people keep going, oh, I haven't topped up my Monzo, whenever they go to anywhere.
And then when they, even though they have, anyone says they need money, someone says, oh, have you got Monzo? And then they say yes, and then it takes 4 hours to
do anything
to Monzo between each other.
And they go, yeah, but it's great because you can see what you've bought. And you're like, yes, I have that. It's called my banking app and looking at my bank balance. Anyway,
we don't have Monzo cards, so.
I tried it and I couldn't be bothered. Tessa, what's your adult
didn't
thing?
I have one.
You didn't try it and you hate it.
I feel absolutely nothing.
Sure.
I feel no emotion towards Monzo. Mine is that I took everything back before the January receipt thing expired. All the stuff that
oh,
I had.
Oh, that
yeah.
is good.
Yeah, there was a more that you got an extended, the festive period had an extended returns policy.
Oh, over 28 days then?
Yes.
No
and
way.
You got everything, but I got everything back that, you know, didn't fit or that I recklessly purchased presents.
Yes.
The things I bought that at home were mad.
I understand.
I took them all back and I kept all the receipts.
That's really good.
And the fact that I could found all the receipts, I was like, who did this?
Yes, I love that feeling.
What wizard placed this receipt here? But it was me in the past, and I was absolutely thrilled about it, and I took them all back.
It's so nice
so
with,
I feel
when
like
it's
I
you could, in the past.
Yeah. And then you look in your bank statement, and you're like, oh, bloody hell, made some...
It feels like free money.
Made some good money here.
Yeah.
Why did Primark pay me?
Maybe.
Because I'm feeling an absolute church mouse at the moment.
Church mouse, that's an interesting phrase.
Meaning poor.
Poor as a church mouse.
Yeah.
I've never heard that phrase, but it feels like that's the thing.
But I believe it.
I believe it. I don't think church mouses have much money.
No, they don't, famously. So I feel poor as a church mouse at the moment.
Yeah, same. I think everyone does. We're all feeling it.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is why I'll just come back to Chip. No. Moving on to...
Stevie's got a run-in with some bad people.
Yeah, hashtag spawn, hashtag Russia, hashtag Russia are after me. Also, that wasn't sponsored either.
Chip
I literally
is cryptocurrency,
just,
don't use it. No, it's not. I don't know.
It
sounds marvellous.
It's just something that a lot of people have recommended to me, and I've decided to take them up on it.
But great to be doing any kind of saving app at all.
Yeah, any sort of saving. I just think it's like whenever you go to the gym, you're like, I am one of those people that saves. I'm one of those people that just makes you feel good. And assertiveness. I mean, it's already been a bit of a, what's the word, minefield already.
Certainly.
Because it's not, yeah, you think assertiveness, I immediately think of, yeah, workplace.
Yep.
Saying like, no, actually, that's not acceptable in like a very loud voice. Or when you're a bit younger, sometimes it's like, no, I don't want those drugs, friends. Ooh.
Cool.
No, I won't have that cigarette. That takes 15 minutes off my life with every puff. That sort of thing.
Cool stuff.
Yes. But actually, yeah, it's a lot more insidious than that. So it can be just opting out of making any decisions that affect anyone else, which maybe will mean opting out of making decisions for yourself. Have you ever had that?
Yes, I think so. And I think that thing of you're just so desperate for somebody to tell you what you'd be good at or what you should do is exactly the same thing as like not wanting to have to be in control of any of the decisions.
Exactly, like the restaurant.
Exactly like the restaurant. Nobody wants to be driving the wagon. You just want someone else to drive, for God's sake, and tell you what you should be doing and where you should be going.
And that person is assertive because they're like asserting themselves on you. So good for them. But it doesn't really help you become assertive. So it's not just about being in a boardroom, which is the crucial thing. And I think, yeah, if you're listening like, well, I'm not in a boardroom, you're like, great, because actually assertiveness will be affecting your life in some way.
I think this dinner example, while a very sort of microcosm of a much, much bigger issue, if you imagine like if you've got a cousin or a small child that you inexplicably are taking to dinner. So let's say that you've got like a 10...
You're taking a baby to dinner.
You're taking a baby to dinner or like a 10-year-old.
Yes.
And you've been left with them for the evening. At no point, you might say, like, what kind of things do you like in case they want something, they have an idea.
Yeah, are you allergic to nuts?
Are you allergic to nuts? And fish? Do you eat fish? Like, you might ask them if they're like, I've always wanted to go to this place, whatever. But you would at no point, if the child said to you, where are we going? You wouldn't say, like, you choose.
No. You
wouldn't put that on them. You would obviously know that in that situation, you are the one with the authority. And no part of you, you'd hope that they had a good time or whatever. But at no point would you have that same, like, what will they think of me? Like, they're 10.
Yeah.
Like, you don't question that same mindset. And, like, similarly, like, you give that authority to people, like, older than you or cooler than you or whatever.
You've placed yourself down. Like, lesser than everyone else.
You've chosen to put yourself lower down the ladder.
You're not! Because that's also nice, because then I think when people say, be more assertive, they think, oh, so I'm supposed to be a bit mean.
A bit mean, yeah.
I don't want to do that. Actually, it's not. It's just about being like, okay, what do I want? Actually,
what do I want?
What do I want?
And
what
why have I placed myself so far down this ladder? Is it because I'm afraid of these people above me? Is it because why have I put myself worth so far down here? Like, what is the reason for that? I think it always comes down, we always think it's about like saying no to doing a job you don't want to do, whatever. But it's actually about being like, why am I so low down here? Why am I so low?
Okay. Now, there's an assertiveness test that is very long. So I've picked sort of 6 questions.
Yep.
Quite rudimentary.
Absolutely. But are you assertive?
You can do it. Yeah. Are you assertive? Yes or no? But you can play along if you're listening and just think about it in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And let's try it.
I'm ready.
Okay. You're at McDonald's.
Ooh.
That's the end.
Okay.
And you order a chicken legend burger with mayonnaise, but they give you one with salsa. I guess you're saying you don't like salsa. Anyway, you would A, accept it since you sort of like salsa anyway. Okay, that answers that question. B, angrily refuse the burger and insist on seeing the manager to complain about the poor service. C, call the waiter and indicate you ordered your burger with mayonnaise.
I mean, they don't have waiters at McDonald's, so who wrote this quiz? But I would see, and there would be no question in my mind, and I would just, and I wouldn't have to make a scene or call the manager, but I would just say, oh, I'm so sorry.
That's wrong.
It's actually with mayonnaise.
Yes, I've got friends who don't do that, and they'll get a coffee, it'll be cold. Mm. That's the one that always comes up. Coffee, cold, like, oh, it's a bit cold. You're like, go and ask them to heat it up.
Go and
like,
ask them to heat it up, yeah.
No. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You just paid £3 for me, you're not going to drink.
Yeah. And so this one, we are very unanimous on the, like, on this one.
Yeah.
Of like, it doesn't even cross my mind.
Yes.
And I think...
And if it would cross your mind, that is the most easy one to knock out. They are being paid by the hour to at least do the thing that you've asked them to do.
They don't care at all.
Yes.
There is a difference between, like, it's somebody's market stall and a little man who's worked his whole life making something and he's giving something that's horrible and you don't want it.
And you don't want to upset him.
You don't upset him. Understandable. But somebody at McDonald's...
Or Starbucks.
Or just any old coffee shop, like, could not give one shit. And also, they didn't drink it or taste it. Like, they don't know that it isn't good.
Yes, of course.
And this comes from me and Stevie spending years and years in service.
Years and years in the army.
Years and years... And when you've served it in army, you know a thing or two. No, years and years in catering that you... You know, when somebody says, this is gold or this is hot or whatever, especially like politely, no part of you is like, what a horrible person. You would if they like shouted at you, whatever. But just the actual...
Yeah, if you do it in a nice way,
fine. Because you didn't eat it. You don't know. It's completely passed you by. You're just trying to get a million orders out a minute or whatever. So that one for me, if there is a capacity for the way that I feel about returning the mayonnaise chicken McLegend.
Yes.
Which is absolutely no emotion whatsoever, wouldn't even question it. If it's possible to feel like that about choosing a restaurant, then there's hope.
There is hope. There's absolutely hope. Look, Tessa can't choose a restaurant to save her life, but she'll send her burger back and you can as well, essentially.
Yes. Question two.
Question two. You are a customer waiting in line to be served. Suddenly someone steps in the line ahead of you. You would A, let the person be ahead of you since he or she is already in line. B, pull the person out of line and make him or her go to the back. C, indicate to the person that you are in the line and point out where it begins.
C, again, have you seen the film Blindside?
No.
It's got Sandra Bullock in it and it's about, it's a true story about them, this like very Republican family, very white, taking in this enormous black kid who's like 6'5" and he becomes this phenomenal football player.
Amazing.
It's quite sweet. It's really sweet. But she is like the epitome of like, they're in a queue somewhere and somebody cuts. And then she just like really kicks off in a really quite cool way that makes you be like, oh, you don't have to shout or be rude or swear, but you can just like put everybody in their place in a way that everyone's like, oh, that was cool.
I think saying like the queue starts there is a good, because I've done that before where I've gone into a queue and someone's been like, oh, the queue starts there. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm not like, oh my God, I better leave. Like, you're fine. Whereas if you yank them out and shout at them, that's stupid. Like,
yeah. And I've definitely seen the like under the aggressive tutting or like under your breath. Like, and then the person who has cut in is like, what's that? You want to, what's that? Even though they know they're wrong, now suddenly we're having a huge fight.
Yeah, because there's no need to be so aggressive about someone cutting in front of you in the
queue. I would be Sandra Bullock and
be Sandra Bullock
and
Blindside. First, watch Blindside.
First, watch Blindside. Then I would just sassy be like, oh, I'm sorry.
Right. A friend drops by to say hello, but stays too long, preventing you from finishing an important task. You would A, let the person stay, then try and squeeze your work in later. B, tell the person to stop bothering you and get out. I mean, come on. C, explain your need to finish your work and request that he or she visit another time. I actually would do A here because that happens to me all the time. I'd be like, oh, but I was supposed to go to that party, and then I'll just go even though I can't, I don't have time and it's really upset and I need to stay. I'd be like, oh, but they'll be sad, or like, I can't tell them to leave. That's a really hard one.
I think it's that balance of like, what is the most important thing in this scenario?
Yes.
And I think you're right to identify that yours is more skewed towards helping somebody else.
Yes. And if it is, then you should start just practicing some self-care, guys.
Right?
That's the buzzword of apparently the whole
time. But I think
time.
If they're a proper friend, if you can't say to them, please leave, then...
Yes, if they're on the periph, though, like they're like a periphery friend. It's tricky. Now...
A grey one.
So now they're the sort of question, that's kind of the vibe.
Yeah.
And that's the very like standard, isn't it? That's a very like, would you do this? Would you do that? And if I think people do fall into one of two categories, people who are like absolutely fine with sending something back, absolutely fine with taking clothes back. I get a bit, I'm a bit less than you are because I still get nervous when I take clothes back, even though I've bought it, it doesn't fit. And I'm taking it back, which is the complete right avenue to go down. I'm frightened always that they'll go, I actually practice what I'm going to say.
Okay.
So that when they go, and what was wrong with it? In my head for about 10 minutes while I'm stood in queue, I'm going, oh, it didn't fit. No, it's too big. The arms were a bit short. No, that sounds weird. And I do that a lot. And then when it actually happens and they go, what's wrong with it? I'll go, it didn't fit. And then they go, fine, because they don't care.
They don't care.
Crucially, they don't care.
But that's okay. I think I do a similar thing.
Oh, yeah, do you? Okay, great. So it isn't just me.
Just practicing saying like, oh, it wasn't, you've got a reason in your mind of, and you're ready to say, oh, it wasn't quite the right size.
Yes. Now, but the thing is about being passive in other situations. So at the end of the quiz, basically the A of that quiz, as in the first answers, the ones that were literally like, just accept it, that you're obviously a very, very passive person. B, angrily refusing the burger and insisting on saying the manager, you're a naturally quite aggressive person.
Yes.
And then C is kind of what you want to be aiming for, which is that you're just assertive without kind of rocking the boat too much. And rocking the boat unnecessarily,
yes,
I think,
absolutely.
is the crucial thing. And they've given some tips for people who feel a bit like they're passive to be more assertive. And the tips aren't just about taking clothes back or burgers. They're like more broad and I quite like them.
Yes.
So I really do think that this is an important one. Give your opinion. Say whether or not, for example, you liked a movie you saw and why, without waiting for the other person to give their opinion.
Okay.
And I think that's something that we can all practice. So with films, I'm very happy. Saw a film last night. My cohabiting flatmate really enjoyed it. I was a bit like, oh God, it's just, I'm fed up of seeing this sort of film. It was very gritty, real. Women are treated like crap. There's a sex scene that is sort of a rape scene. No, it wasn't. It was Lady Macbeth. It's actually a very good film, but I just wasn't in the mood to watch something absolutely. Like that. I didn't want to watch another woman be trod down and then kill people. I was just like, I can't be bothered. And I'm very happy to say that and be very vocal about whether I enjoyed a movie or whether I didn't, regardless of what anyone else has said.
Yes.
I, last year, started going to see plays and theatre for basically really the first time since like uni. And then at uni, it'd just be like, oh, look, my friend Paul's in it. And that was the review.
Yeah, yeah.
who cares if it's good? Because there's Paul.
Yeah. But Paul's wearing a hat, isn't
Paul's
he?
Wearing a hat, or he's not wearing a hat. Yeah. And then afterwards we get drunk and we discuss the hat. Yeah. And you go, that was nice. If it's an actual piece of art at the interval at the theatre, you're expected to chat about whether you like the play.
Mm.
And I don't know enough. And I would always wait until the person I was going to see the play with said something, and then I'd be like, oh good, yes, me too, I didn't like it, or like, oh okay, yeah, and I would never give my opinion. And I think that's just a very rudimentary example to show that you can have opinions on some things that you'll be more comfortable with giving, but there will be certain elements of your life that you won't be giving opinions on. I'm not saying the theatre is the most important, but you know,
whatever the area that you personally feel like you aren't confident in.
Yes, practice when you do something, when someone asks what you would like to eat, when anyone asks for your opinion on something, practice just giving it. And you can actually start, it says here, just give sort of a ballpark. Like, it doesn't have to be right. If you say Wagamamas, you didn't really want Wagamamas, at least you've given an opinion, you know? It's just the act of asserting yourself.
I think if you get the Wagamamas out early, then we're still talking about the Wagamamas 10 minutes later, and someone's like, well, do you want to go to Wagamamas? And then you're like, Sorry, I didn't mean it.
I've gone back on that.
I go back on that. And then if people keep being like, well, should we wear Wagamamas then for Stevie? You know?
Yes, then that is tricky. But the idea is
you've got something out there.
It's if you end up going to, say, Wagamamas, and everyone goes, oh yeah, Wagamamas, great. And you sit down and you go, actually, I didn't really want sort of pan-Asian fusion. That's okay, because at least you've made an opinion. That opinion has changed, but you've practiced saying it in the moment when everyone's looking at you expectantly, or we're all looking at each other expectantly. You've contributed.
Yeah, yeah.
And the point is, you need to contribute more. Maybe not over the top, but yes.
Yeah, they don't have to be aggressive or rude or mean. You can just be middle of the road. You don't have to rock the boat. So you don't have to come out of the play and be like, that was absolute dog shit.
To all the actors
shouting it. You don't have to say that. You can be like, I didn't love the writing, or I didn't love this. Or
yes. Yes, and it says,
your opinion out there.
And it says here, notice when you say, I don't know, I don't care, or it doesn't matter when someone asks you what you want, and practice saying what you'd prefer, especially on things that hardly matter, because they're the simplest things to practice on.
Oh, this is good stuff. My 100% mine is food. Food is, and where we're going and what to what. Because I genuinely don't mind, and I am just like
I'm the same.
I just like being out.
Yeah,
I'm glad we went somewhere together.
Yeah, I'm
lovely.
Yeah.
But it's not like I'm harboring a deep resentment. I want to be somewhere else. Like, I just didn't have an opinion. But I guess me pretending or convincing myself that I think it is real that we just are quite content to go somewhere else.
Yes, but it is more passive, and it puts the other person in a powerful position,
exactly, in a difficult position.
And if that person inhabits that that role quite easily, then suddenly, so say if it's like a relationship, and you're constantly going, I don't know, really, that's fine, and they're constantly having to think of things, then suddenly, then you've actually got a power shift where then 3 years down the line, that person is just deciding what you're going to eat all the time.
All the time. They make
and then
all
when
the
you
decisions.
Go, hang on, you go, well, you never said anything.
You never said anything. Yeah, exactly.
So I think it's good
exactly. So I'm going to start practicing. Oh boy, I'm going to be making some dinner dates.
I will not be hanging around with Tessa for the next month. I'm
insisting that we go for dinner.
And I'll just be sass in Wagamamas.
Yeah.
For a month. Oh yes, this is a good one. And this is good for like other things as well, as not just assertiveness, but it definitely works with assertiveness. Find a role model in your friendship group or at work, or someone that you see fairly often who's good at being assertive, not too passive and not too aggressive, and see if you can imitate that person's best qualities. So if someone is assertive to you, if someone, when you ask someone's opinion, which if you are quite passive, you'll probably be asking people's opinion quite a lot of things, see how they respond. And And if it's something that you go, oh yeah, I can do that, then just the next time, then just emulate what that person said. Obviously, you don't have the same opinion as them. I mean, frame it in the same way. Oh, for example, I consistently say yes to all jobs and then say, yeah, I could probably fit that in, and then can't. And I need to stop being like, no, I can't fit that in. Can you maybe push the deadline back? But that's my least favorite thing to do because I feel like it makes me look unprofessional. However, I have commissioned people who have said that to me and gone, sorry, I've actually got this on, this on, this on, and this on. Can I push it back 3 days? And I've gone, absolutely fine. So what I should do is I should look at those emails those people sent me and just bloody do the same thing.
Yeah.
Copy and paste them. Maybe use my name and the correct person's email address.
Certainly. But yeah, just copy them.
That's
Sandra
awful.
Bullock, for example.
Sandra Bullock. Watch Blindside. Always. And then the other thing, which is not really a tip, but it's just more of a reminder, is just your ideas and opinions are important because we all, as humans, need to express opinions and ideas. Otherwise, we would all be sheep. And so it doesn't matter if your opinion is wrong. I think maybe we're worried that we'll go, I like that film. And everyone goes, what? You must have no taste in films.
Mm.
But no one's thinking that because you will like another film that that person will like. Like, no one is judging you and your entire personality on that one opinion of where you wanted to eat, what that film was, how your party turned out. Everything is judged if you look at it the other way. You just judge things based on events. You go, oh, Sarah didn't like that film. Oh, that party was a bit odd. But then you'll go to the next one, you know?
Somebody said to me the other day they enjoyed Now You See Me 2.
Was that The Shadow?
Yeah. Sorry, yes it was. Oh yeah, The Shadow.
Yeah.
The Shadow told me the other day that he enjoyed Now You See Me 2, which is the worst film
you've ever seen.
I've ever seen. And while I went like, gosh. My opinion about him as a person is absolutely unchanged. And I just maybe put my head on one side and be like, oh, okay. I was interested to hear what bits of it he liked and to talk about it. Like, that was my response to somebody actively and confidently saying that they enjoyed something that is categorically awful. And so, like, that I think will be, you know, you don't panic that people will. But if he'd said, like, I didn't like it, I would have disliked him for his, like,
oh yeah, you'd be like, come on.
I would have been like, come on, just say it. Yeah, say.
Yes, just say.
Just say it. Don't pussyfoot around me.
In work things and in asserting yourself in terms of what you can do, what you can't do, what you want to do, what is not acceptable behaviour, say, that's also when it's the other way around. You never go like, I was bad that person said that. You don't. You just go, oh, that person can't do that, or that person needs more time on that, or that person disagreed with my idea for that project, for example. I mean, obviously, if they disagree on literally everything you say, then that's another thing. That's not assertiveness, is it?
No.
There was... Oh, you're crying.
Yes.
Now, the third... I suppose we talked about two different types of assertiveness, but the third sort of realm of assertiveness is when you see behaviour occurring or behaviour is happening to you that is not okay.
Yes.
And that's the one that I struggle with the most. When we talked about catcalling on the catcalling episode, my default for years, as I said, was to just ignore and not engage. The amount of times I've been at parties, not that like every time I go to parties people are mean, but when they have been, every time I've just taken it or diffused the situation. If someone's being mean to someone else, I will always go to the person's been being mean to, sort of like the victim of the situation, make them feel better, rather than call out the behavior, because I just, for some reason, I just can't do it. But I think an assertive person, I think I should, that's because I'm not very assertive in that capacity. How do you feel about like that kind of, you know, behaviour aspect of assertiveness?
I love a fight.
Right, no, sure. And that's the end of the podcast. I've learned a lot.
I love one. Like, I would happily...
You do, don't you?
Yes. But that is because I genuinely enjoy conflict. That is not aimed at me. So someone else's conflict, like, I'm all in for getting involved.
Yeah.
And if it was really aimed at me... And I knew I was in the right. If that's the thing about it, if I knew I was in the wrong, I would hate it.
Yes.
Hate it. But if I didn't like the person, and so it's quite a small Venn diagram when I'd actually enjoy a conflict, but...
Of course. No. As in enjoying...
I'm totally in the right. I don't like the person. They're awful. I'm looking for an excuse to...
Yeah, because you've had situations where we've been at parties and there's been like some guy or something or girl has said something like horrific, and rather than being like, I'm not talking to this person, you've been like, right, here we go, saddle up, I'm getting into your psyche.
Yeah.
And you've really like...
Talk about your mother.
Yeah. And I think that is interesting. But like, in terms of like tips for being assertive, when someone, I guess, has crossed some sort of line. Mm-hmm. I read a thing on Psychology Today. I mean, it was called What Mentally Strong People Do to Deal with Snarky Individuals.
Lovely.
And there's just three things which I thought might help. But at the same time, you're not going to be able to be assertive in all areas of assertiveness. So I guess work on as many as possible. But if you really can't do any of these and you're like, I can't, then that's
I think
fine.
Start with the chicken salad sandwich.
Yes, and then work up.
Work upwards.
To world domination.
Take back things in large corporation chains that are wrong.
Yes.
And work up from there.
Yes. So a mentally healthy, strong person who is dealing with snarky behavior. Number one, they don't give away their power. And I think that's very important. You don't let the negative snarky comments ruin or even affect what you're doing. So an assertive person doesn't necessarily have to call it out. So if someone's like makes a just a shitty comment at you, an assertive person doesn't necessarily have to go, excuse me, that was a shitty comment, please leave. But they will choose how they react to it inside. You can, so ignoring it is often the most assertive response if you know it's not really worth it. It's basically the equivalent of being like, mate, it's not worth it. Mate, it's not worth it. That in a fight.
Yeah.
Then tip number two is when you are speaking up to use like soft words like, I noticed then that this happened. Why was that? Rather than being like, that was wrong and you shouldn't do that, because
lovely.
That will incite aggression.
Yeah.
Putting yourself into it, saying you noticed behavior and questioning it.
Also, you began that sentence with, I noticed then, and that's like, rather than being like, you are wrong and making it a violent attack on somebody.
Yeah.
You'd be like, can I just tell you what I've noticed here?
Yes, you're like a scientist observing.
I'm purely observing here and there's nothing to fight here.
Which I think is especially strong if the comment is aimed at you. It's quite easy to just notice when there's conflict with two other people because you're not involved in it. But if you're literally being aimed at you and you go, I've noticed you just said this and I don't feel like that's accurate, that's way more direct, isn't it?
Yeah, because then you've said you've noticed something and I'm like, is that right? I'm thinking about it in a sort of clinical, scientific way rather than being like a feeling the brunt of the attack. I'm merely thinking about the thing I've said.
And I think, and then that's what the third point is, which is just remove emotion out of it and be an observer. Like, if you are emotionally assertive, you will naturally be aggressive because, like we just said, like you opened the podcast with being like, hello! Like, you just, that's what assertiveness is. But actually, it's not. Assertiveness is just being, it's basically that person that we all know who's like, really calm, really confident, and you just wouldn't mess around with because they would tear you a new one. But they wouldn't really.
What are you doing that for?
Yeah, like, that was a disappointing reaction to that or something like that.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
God, good burn. Gosh, that was disappointing.
Yes. Oh. It's too much. They are the least likely to be in an argument that you probably have never seen them shout or get angry or whatever. But they will tell you when something is not okay or when behavior, like, or even just like going, that wasn't okay. Like, that's probably my favourite phrase that I don't do because I'm very emotional. So I'll be like, that's not nice. Why have you done that? Whereas actually in my head, I wish I go, that's not okay. Because that's just such like a simple way of putting it that asserts that you've noticed something. You don't think it's okay. You've not suggested that they do anything about it because something really to do. They just shouldn't do that again. That sort of thing.
Once at a party room about 15, somebody's quite cool older brother was there. And a lot of people in the living room.
Or just naturally assertive then, aren't they? Because they're older.
Like, already super cool. It's like talking to somebody in the living room. We're probably all sharing one beer. And and he's talking to somebody. Somebody across the room, a boy is like, I couldn't even begin to tell you what the joke was, but like either does something or says something that's like rude or silly or sexist or makes some kind of like weird, makes some bad joke.
Yeah.
To which the brother, not even part of that conversation, just from across the room went, not cool, dude. And like went back to his beer. And people talked about it. I mean, still now.
Yeah, I mean, look.
People talked about it for years and we did it to each other constantly. And it was the ultimate, like the coolest burn in the world because like the situation is immediately diffused. There was nowhere to go. There was nothing.
That's what it is.
Guy,
there's nowhere to go.
That guy
was
just egg on his face, feeling the hot shame of the thing he'd done.
Because what you've done there, to go back to opinions, is that guy has just stated his opinion. He's not afraid that someone will go, I thought it was cool, actually, dude, because one's going to.
No one's
going even to. If they did, then that person would look stupid. Yeah. Imagine if you'd gone, not cool, dude, and someone else went, I actually thought it was cool.
Then you'd just literally be like,
what?
You'd shrug and you'd be like, okay, and you'd leave the room.
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
It's the perfect. Yeah, it's the perfect.
Be the older brother. Yeah. Be the cool older brother at the party of your life.
And assertiveness is not saying no to everyone and yes to everyone. It's just stating your opinion on something, whether that is someone's behavior, whether that is it's basically inserting yourself into the situation and filling your role as a human being rather than being like, no, I am less than that.
Yeah.
Like, again, there needs to be a name for this. What is the name of the little slime people who are in Ursula's sea palace?
Just Little Mermaids. Oh wow. That's the name of it.
Yes.
Like, as in the mer people who've been shrunk.
Shrunken mer people.
Yeah, shrunken mer people.
Shrunken mer people's souls. Rather than being like a shrunken mer person's soul, you should be a mermaid.
Mer person.
Be a full merman or mer.
I have one final thing.
Yes.
That psychologists suggest that unassertive people in unassertive situations bury them. So bury the thing that has happened and hold on to them, and then they explode at a later date.
Oh, so it's actually really bad for you to be passive.
It's really bad for you. So you
that
can probably remember times that you were passive or you didn't say something, but you probably can't remember any times that you were assertive.
No.
You can not...
Because it's just out and you've done it and
maybe a time that you could remember that somebody else was passive and you helped them be assertive.
Yeah.
You could probably remember that. But there's nothing you can remember when... Because that didn't feel assertive to you. That just felt like your day-to-day...
Yeah, you're just saying a thing.
You just said your thing.
Yeah.
It didn't occur to you. But your passive stuff, the when you didn't suggest where to go, you said, I don't mind. You said, no, that's fine. You let something go. You bury each and every one of those inside you and then they explode out.
That's
at a later
crazy.
Date.
Also, similarly, you will remember when you were aggressive.
Mm.
So actually, basically, both sides of it are more... But the passive... Punch my microphone. And it just... Yeah, and it would probably just breed more passivity.
Yeah.
And then I can't imagine someone who's incredibly passive would end up like... I know this sounds really over the top, but you wouldn't be... You're just not going to end up living the life that you want to live.
Yes, and then you explode in this like big argument and you can definitely see those times that you've done that or seen that argument take place when you've been like... Yeah, this is exactly like the time that you said that when we went to Swindon and everyone was like, what, in 1994? Like, why is that possibly relevant? And of course, those memories to you are like so relevant as times that are now like, the time that you did this, the time that you did this.
And I kept quiet, and then I kept quiet about that, and then I kept quiet about that.
And the other person is like, I don't even remember those.
Yes.
And yet for you, they're like, here's my shelf of the things.
Yes, and it's actually not on that person to be psychic. It's up to you to say your thing. Yeah, my God, that's strong. I actually really feel that that was helpful because I thought, when we were going into this, I was actually like, well, I'm not really a CEO, so I suppose assertiveness isn't really for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We so much believe that's what it is, whereas it's a guy can't stress enough how it's about going to Whack-A-Mama's.
Or not.
Or not.
You know?
I am going to really, really genuinely work on this.
I can't live my life like that.
No.
If you're listening, pick, you must have, unless you're very assertive, in which case, incredible.
Live your life, well done again.
Just bask.
You've smashed it again. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. If you're not assertive in some way and you're listening going, yeah, I actually do that. I do withhold my opinion there. Or I find it difficult to make a decision there. It's probably because you find the decision difficult because you're not asserting your own opinion and you're not trusting yourself to have one.
I've never organised a holiday, never organised a group thing, never been on loads. I'm like, oh, lovely. Thrilled to be here. I'm a good guest. Like, no one needs a good guest. People need you to be the boring organiser bit.
Yeah.
Obviously be that bit. I've never done it, never organised it because I don't trust that I would be good at or that people would like what I've chosen.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
The idea of someone being like, hey, do you want to put some music on? Honestly, I would rather leave the room
and
dark.
That's why Tess is doing a DJ slot at my birthday in May.
She told me about it several months ago and yes, I've been making a list. Every time every time
amazing.
Because it makes me so nervous. So every time...
She's going to get over her fear and show a room of people, maybe just me, her opinion on music.
Yeah, but it won't be my opinion on music. It will be...
Your opinion on what other people might dance to.
Yes,
yes.
But every time I've been at a party or heard a good song, I've written it down and been like, that was cool, I danced, that was a good song. So I
That's
feel...
That's so
but
sweet.
If you made me do it like now, I would... Oy.
And I'd be awful. What would I do? Tessa, do a DJ set now!
Yeah.
Yeah, very
so
unlikely.
I've just got to be like, but hey, I do enjoy music.
Yes.
I do enjoy music. You know, so
good Lord.
I've got to just be like, yes, hello.
It's not like Tess is doing a set and then everyone else is a professional DJ.
Or I'm doing it in a DJ competition.
You're doing it, exactly. You're doing it and then basically I'm just getting other friends to do it. I might do one, probably not. So there's no jeopardy there. It's just there's no reason why
no
you can't.
There's no jeopardy in an office, in a shared office where someone says, hey, put some music on the...
No, of course not.
No, literally zero jeopardy, and yet Honestly.
And all that happens, actually, is the next stage, which we haven't covered, because you can't really cover it. You just have to be okay with it. Is that, yes, one time when you are assertive or you have your opinion, let's say in the office, you put on some music, someone, Nigel in the corner, is going to go, oh, God, I hate Beyonce, because it will be Beyonce if I'm putting some music on. Nigel's comment does not mean that you shouldn't have put your music on. Mm. You need to be able to also be so on board with your opinion that, hey, it's okay to play Beyonce, that Nigel's comment should be like water off a duck's back, because it doesn't matter. Yeah. Because, all right, Nigel, what do you want to put on? Well, I don't like that, you know? So, like, yeah, there needs to be some flexibility and...
The fact that you don't mind what Nigel thinks.
Yes, you shouldn't... Once you're assertive, you shouldn't also mind what comes after it, which I think is really, really
hard.
Yeah,
that's a big part of it. And if you know, it's not just the confidence of putting it out, it's...
The confidence.
It's me dealing with everyone booing my DJ set.
Yes,
and me being like,
sticking with
live
it.
Your life, I'm loving it. You know?
Yeah,
which I will be, because
the
they
main
are good
point
choices.
To remember when Nigel makes that comment, when you get booed off the DJ set, and also considering it'll probably just be like three people at my birthday. I mean, why am I booing you? But I am. The thing to remember is that's not the point. The point is you should be proud of yourself that you put your opinion out there. It's like when you go for a job and you don't get it. You're not like, stupid Stevie for going for that job. No, you should be really proud that you went for the job. You didn't get it, but at least you put yourself out there. And I think that's the thing you should be proud of. And I am going to boo Tessa all night.
And that's the thing is, I don't mind if you do.
No, but I'll obviously be doing it jokingly, and I won't. So that's assertiveness. Please tweet us assertively if you have any comments, thoughts, just like pictures of yourself. I don't know, just like some fun things. Because it's January. And
anything assertive that you're working on? Anything that you've done that was assertive?
Or just nothing to do with assertiveness.
If you've never been able to take something back in a restaurant or a cafe or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
Do it.
Oh my God, do
don't
it.
Don't just take back nice things.
Like, yeah, not that you
if
like. That,
if that's something you've never been able to do or that fills you with dread, do it.
Start saying your opinions about things.
If putting on the music in the office fills you with dread, just do it. Put them
just
on.
Just do it.
Unasked. Start get saying your opinions to things unasked.
Yeah. Oh, say, I thought this, for say, example.
And someone says like, oh, did you? And then be like, yeah. And then yes. Have a discussion about it.
Yeah. And see how it's not the worst thing in the world if someone disagrees with you or your suggestion to go to Wagamama's is not thought of being a good one.
This podcast was brought to you by Wagamama's.
I mean, it is, because I want to go to Wagamama's now. That's what's happened.
See you in Wagamama's, everybody.
See you in Wagamama's and have a lovely week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.